Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. We welcome you to the Doers of the Word radio program where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We're sharing with you on the subject of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the fact that there is a difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit came upon them in order to bring forth a filling of the Spirit for the service of the Lord. We talked about the teaching of Jesus, all the things that he taught about. Now we're talking about the subject of baptism. Before we get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, and filling of the Holy Spirit, specifically in Scriptures. The word baptism, an untranslated Greek word, baptizo, means to immerse, engulf, or submerge. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the immersing, submerging, and engulfing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, what was the purpose of baptism? We see this when we look in Matthew chapter 3, what John the Baptist was doing. John the Baptist, he was declaring that he was the voice of one in the wilderness that was preparing the way of the Lord, and he was speaking of the kingdom that was at hand. Well, the response of the kingdom being at hand, all the people came out to be baptized. And why did they come out to be baptized? Because they understood that the fulfillment of Exodus 19 was about to happen, where it says that they would be a peculiar treasure unto me in verse 5, and verse 6, that they would be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That meant that all of the Israelites were going to become priests. Remember, in the Old Covenant, only one tribe was of the priesthood, and that was the tribe of Levi. You had to be born of that tribe in order to enter in the priesthood. But now the prophecy was that they all were going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. When they came out, they were confessing their sins, they were repenting, and then John was baptizing them. Now, what was happening? They understood what was happening because there were three steps for the ordination and consecration into the priesthood. The first step was washing with water, and that's what was happening. The second step was the anointing with anointing oil, and the third step was the application of the blood. Remember what Moses did with Aaron and his sons? He first washed them with water, then poured the anointing oil upon them, and then the third thing was that they took the ram of consecration, and they took the blood from it after they slew it, and they put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Through the washing of water, the anointing with the anointing oil, and the application of the blood, then that brought them into the priesthood. John did not just wash them with water. Instead, he was baptizing them or immersing them in water. And what he was doing, he was prophetically revealing that there was a coming change from the Old Testament washing to the New Testament baptizing as the first step into the New Testament priesthood, because there was going to be a new priesthood that was going to come forth. Remember, there had to be, because the Old Testament priesthood was only for those born of the tribe of Levi. And so all these that were going to become a kingdom of priests, they were not of that tribe, so there had to be a new priesthood. Now in Matthew 3:11, here's where John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water under repentance." But he said one was going to come after him who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Here he's indicating that the Christ would baptize with the Holy Spirit instead of baptizing with water, showing that there's going to be a change of coming into the New Testament priesthood from being washed with water to being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then the next day when John saw Jesus coming to him, he said, "The Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world." And he declared now that he was made manifest to Israel, and that's of course why he was come baptizing with water. So Jesus comes, and he comes to be baptized. And remember that Jesus says that he was to be baptized of John, and John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" Jesus answering said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." What was the righteousness that Jesus needed to fulfill? It was the righteousness of the laws commanded by God in Leviticus 8 to ordain Jesus to be the high priest of Israel. Remember that the first step was this washing of the water, exactly what happened with Jesus being baptized. So this was the first step. What happened after that? Matthew 3 and verse 16 and 17, when Jesus was baptized, then he went up straightway out of the water. Lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. That was the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon him. And what was the third step? It was the application of the blood from the ram of consecration. And Jesus, of course, was that ram of consecration whose blood was shed. And what happened? The blood was to be put on the tip of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, and the great toe of the right foot. What happened to Jesus? When Jesus was on the cross, the first thing we see, the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. What would happen? The blood would run down upon the tip of his right ear. And then when he was put on the cross, the nails through his hands would cause the blood to run down on the tip of his right thumb. Then the blood would run down to the great toe of his right foot. So Jesus was washed, anointed, and had the blood applied in fulfillment of the righteousness of the law under the old covenant to be the high priest of Israel. But at the same time, remember that the prophecy was for all of them to become a kingdom of priests. And so we see that there had to be some changes. There had to be a change in the priesthood. There had to be a change in the covenant as well. And this was prophesied by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 31:31. He prophesied that a new covenant with the house of Israel was going to come into manifestation. There also had to be a change in the priesthood and in the high priestly order. Remember what it says in Hebrews 7:14, where the Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And so we see the fact that there had to be a change in the priesthood. And also in Hebrews 5 and verse 6, where it says, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." That shows you the fact that the priesthood was not going to be after the order of Aaron, but it was going to be after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Aaron was only a priest, but Melchizedek, he was a king and a priest. So there was a coming change in the priesthood and in the order of the high priest. Into the priesthood, it came by birth. Well, there was going to be birth, but instead of physical, natural birth, as it was in the Old Testament for those who were the Levites in the tribe of Levi, now for all of them to come into the priesthood, it still had to be by birth, but instead it was going to be by spiritual birth. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, Jesus said something. He says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with." And the baptism he was going to go through was the baptism of death, where he was going to be immersed in death, and then he was going to be born from the dead to bring in the new priesthood and to be the firstborn among many brethren. In Matthew chapter 20, in verse 22 and 23, Jesus said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said, "We're able." And he said, "You shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." So what do we see about Jesus? Jesus, remember, he went to the cross and he was made sin. And through the deaths, he made his grave with the wicked and the rich in his deaths. The word death is plural in the Hebrew. And so that refers to his spiritual death, which was separation from the Father, having been made sin, and his physical death, where he left his physical body. And he was separated from the Father. Now, having done that, remember, Jesus spiritually was separated, so spiritual death took hold of him. And that meant the fact that Jesus would have to be born again to experience spiritual life. And that's exactly what happened to him. Now, remember what happened? 3 days and three nights he went down in the heart of the earth. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, heart of the earth being hell, where Jesus was, and after those 3 days and three nights, somebody raised Jesus from the dead, and that was the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead," remember, the Spirit of him is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And what was going to happen? Jesus actually experienced a spiritual birth at this point in time by being baptized as such, or immersed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who came to him, came engulfed him in hell, and Jesus was born from the dead by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus experienced a birth from death. It was a spiritual birth. And we see that from the scriptures in Acts 13, verse 33, where it talks about he's raised up Jesus again, as it's written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." The word begotten means born. And then in Hebrews 1, verse 5 and 6, same thing, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And again, "I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." In verse 6, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, that's the firstborn. And then in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15, it speaks of him as the firstborn, not just physically raised from the dead, but the firstborn of every creature. In verse 18, he's the firstborn from the dead. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says he's the firstborn among many brethren. In Revelation 1, 5, he's the first begotten or born of the dead. And then in Hebrews 12, 23, we know the real church is the church of the firstborn. So we see what Jesus accomplished. Now, he had a baptism to be baptized with. That was a baptism of death in which Jesus was immersed, submerged, engulfed in death for the 3 days and three nights. And then he was immersed, submerged, and engulfed by the Holy Spirit, born from spiritual death unto spiritual life. And this immersing, submerging, engulfing was Jesus being baptized by the Holy Spirit to experience a spiritual birth. Well, the same thing happens to us as well. And this is what we must realize, that Jesus comes to bring the same thing in all of our lives the day that we get born again. Now, remember the requirements to enter into the priesthood. There was the washing, and then there was the anointing, and then there was the blood being applied. Those are the three steps. Now remember that what he said was going to happen to those ones who were going to enter into the priesthood, the disciples, and those of the, for the whole group, the kingdom of priests, they were going to all enter into the kingdom of priests. In Mark 1:8 is where he said that I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus was the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And so he was going to bring the spiritual baptism into being, and it's how he came and manifested on the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came and engulfed them. So what happened? The spiritual baptism of spiritual death unto spiritual life is what happens in our life, because the Holy Spirit comes and we're engulfed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the old spirit is taken out. It's eliminated. It's died or separated from us. That's spiritual death, which is separation. And then the new spirit comes into us, which is the spirit of Jesus Christ that we receive when we are born again. So we actually, our spirit is taken out of us and we get a brand new spirit. So our spirit separated from us, that's spiritual death. And then a new spirit comes into us. That is the spirit of Jesus Christ. And we're a new creature. And then 1 Peter 2 indicates that we now are lively stones. We're a holy priesthood, a chosen generation in verse 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so you and I now come into the priesthood by being born from the dead, spiritual birth. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit produces in a person's life. As I close today, I have a book available on this subject. The title of the book is The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to get this, it's available for $6, postage paid. Please call 602-279-5212. Again, the book, The Difference Between Baptism, Receiving, and Filling of the Holy Spirit, available for $6, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212. Do you need healing? If so, I minister healing and deliverance and have seen the Lord set believers free from cancer, diabetes, heart problems, tumors, all kinds of sickness, disease, and pains in the body. If you need healing, please call me for an appointment at 602-279-5212. That's 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.